David Liu, thank you for leading us in worship this morning. And as you know, if you are gearing up for our talent show coming on, he's the man to check out. We're looking for some fresh blood, fresh blood. And you who are watching via live stream, as well as you who are here at the beginning of the year, the very first Sunday of January, we are changing this service time from 10:45, lo and behold, to 11. Just thought we'd let you know that. That doesn't mean you get to sleep in extra 15 minutes. We just want you here. How's that? Been great. Hey, I want a quick shout out. Well, you have your Bibles in hand, and if you did not bring a Bible, don't despair. We'd love to either have you find one on your electronic app or maybe even just use one of our pew Bibles. If our ushers have some Bibles and you just throw your hand up, say, man, I'd like to use a Bible, or I really need one at home, please feel free to take that. We'd be glad to have you take a Bible. Wanted to give it a quick shout out. As you know, Jason and Sarah Mendoza, they were expecting their first child. Little Charlotte was born last Sunday, so we want to just thank the Lord for that little cutie, as well as Maggie and Greg, dear grandparents. We love that aspect. You know, I was just taking a talk about Greg. Greg and Kathy Carangella, they are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. So just kind of raise your hand. Show how young it looks. Ainsley and I were just saying, when did you get married? I think it was like 13 and 11, something like that. Close, yes. Yep. The authorities are still looking for Greg for robbing the cradle at an early age. Yeah. Congratulations, you two, and to the Mendozas. Hey, congratulations to each of you for being here. We're so grateful that you are. And as you can take a look with me, you'll find not only in your Bible, we're going to John chapter 1, but if you take a moment and look at the back of the bulletin, today's message is listed right there. You who are watching via live stream, we'll put those points of interest there and eventually get those notes downloaded. You'll find that our life groups here at Hope Chapel surrounding the community are not happening right now. They're on holiday break, so we're grateful for all of our life group leaders. Oh, thank you for that. But they need a break too, so tell those life group leaders, we can't do without our daily time with our life group and our time in the Word, but we're grateful that we get a chance to still look at the life group questions and maybe fill them out, would you? And maybe find somebody for lunch today and say, what was that message about? There was a point that really either wowed me or challenged me. How's that? And that's going to be helpful that you do that. So with that, let's dive right on into a couple of things. I think it's going to be worth noting about Christmas. And before we do, isn't it nice to be generous? Right? Everybody's generous? Three of you. Okay, well, good. Well, you know, when I ask people, you know, what does Christmas mean to you? If you ever go on the internet and just kind of throw that out there, somebody actually said, here's a couple of them. One person said that it's just Christmas represents bad television. Can you imagine? Talk about Scrooge. Or nice food, but too much of it. Somebody said peanuts, aftershave, or too much cologne. And then cold weather. Another person said, well, Christmas matters to me because it's all about alcohol, a lot of it, and one continuous hangover all year long. Somebody else came along and said, well, Christmas to me just represents negativity because everybody's talking about, well, is it Christmas again? I can't believe it's Christmas. So whatever that shortened version would be for you that would consider, what does Christmas mean to you? Whether that's one word of just either food or alcohol or some kind of valued event. When I say valued event, oftentimes people would say, well, that valued event would be, you know, giving and receiving gifts. It comes right down to that. What we're looking at today is something that I would like to encourage you is a real meaning of Christmas. It's really in one phrase, and it's heightened right there at John chapter 1, verse 14. As the Lord opens the word, we're going to bring it down to even a more reducible phrase of three words. That's the title of the message, Word Became Flesh. Let me read that. I'm in 1 John, the Gospel of John, and it says, and the Word became flesh. You can see it on the screen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you look at that, isn't it interesting? Because increasingly we're finding in our secular society something about Christmas that has been kind of washed. I remember when I was first born again, what do I mean by that? Where I asked Christ to be my Savior and Lord, and what had nothing to do with church attendance, had nothing to do with whether I was good, had everything to do with what Jesus did and has accomplished for humanity, applied it to my life. Jesus, I believe, I receive you. That, man, everything became real, and I got a little upset at how commercialized Christmas was. And then I started growing up, and you start seeing things in about Christmas that you value and appreciate. And I think it's amazing now when we look at Christmas, there is some qualities, for example, where we start to see our nation's values come into focus. I mean, you go in the mall, you see some wonderful Christian lyrics that are being sung that are normally not even declared. How about nativity sets, maybe in state capitals, like, really? That wouldn't happen before. I like the fact that even Christmas just comes around now, because if Christmas did not once a year, you'd find that families would grow even further apart. That the element of even just loving somebody, expressing love. It's amazing what Christmas can really represent. So though there's a fight against the Christianization of our nation, there seems to be an amazing element of just that element of expressing love once again. So there's a lot of aspects about Christmas. I think it's to a person's disadvantage to come to church once a year on Christmas, but then I look at that now saying, man, I thank God for Christmas because at least they come. Don't you think that's amazing? And they'll be coming. I think it's a wonderful thing that individuals come to church. So when we look at, say, okay, what does Christmas mean to you or to your family? For the Christian, man, we can really experience and express Christmas like no one else. And when it comes to this part in John's gospel, he brings, I think, the real meaning of Christmas. And here it is, Word became flesh. Word became flesh. We're going to take a look at that breakdown of those three words. The first point, you can see his identity, the Word. Let's look for a moment here, because in that, it's interesting because John uses the word, capital W, but it's interesting because it seems so petty, it seems so small, but it's a phrase that he likes to use, the gospel writer. Matter of fact, look at the same chapter 1, look at verse 1. Follow along with me, I'm reading from the New King James. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Can you see that, capital W? "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now it's interesting as we look here, because then you slide down in verse 14. Look at verse 14 where we were just at. Can you see it there? "And the Word," capital W, referencing God, "became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 15, "John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, 'This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." So some pretty lofty expressions here. When we take a look here, the Word, His identity, that it's interesting because the Scripture is saying that, hey, that Word was with God, and not only was that Word with God, but that Word was God. That's what he's saying in verse 1 and 2. And that same Word made everything. It's an amazing thing. We're taking a look. What does Christmas mean? God coming to earth. The Word of God coming. And when we notice here, it's amazing because Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, through faith. And you can write that down because I know you're going to share that with some of your friends over lunch or maybe later on. But in Hebrews 11, that chapter of faith, it says this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, as we start talking about the virgin birth, because that's what we're talking about here this Christmas, is that God spoke everything into existence. And that aspect being even when God made Adam and Eve, said, let us make man in our image. Did he work with his hands? No, he spoke everything into existence. And if you've been with us last Sunday, you notice we were talking about a balanced life of grace and faith. Grace meaning God's favor in your life. Grace meaning you really are favored by God. How so? Well, take a look at what he did for you 2,000 years ago. It's a symbol of where Jesus died for humanity, everyone. He died for everyone. Who will take advantage of that kind of sacrificial gift? By faith. The balance of grace and faith. God favors you. Well, how do I experience that? By faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when we start to take a look at the Word, his identity, and that he spoke everything into existence by the Word of God, by faith we know that. Isn't that amazing? And that we come along and say the Word, God, is going to become something. Something starts to happen here because we know God is a spirit, John 4, 23, 24. So he came in, and when the angel Gabriel announced what God was about to do with this young girl, Mary, we find that in Luke chapter 1. Let's go to the left. If you're there with us in John chapter 1, let's now go to Luke chapter 1 and see that conversation with Mary. With Mary. Now, Gabriel had a he seems to be an angel that just kind of gives baby announcements. That's kind of his assignment. But take a look here, because we have in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. In Luke 1, 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man sexually? How can I have a child? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now look at Mary's response. It says in verse 38, then Mary answered, or Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let's take a moment here, because we're dealing with the Word becoming flesh, but we're dealing with his identity. And we're also kind of bringing that together with God, who is very gracious, favors you, has done some things for you. We cited that how in a covenant called the Scriptures, that God declares some things, I have offered some things for you, one being salvation. How about anything else you might need? Area of healing, area of prosperity and health, wholeness. It's in the Scriptures. You can take a look at that and say, wow, that's almost too nice to believe. But that's exactly what God would like you to believe. What he has done for you 2,000 years ago. Mary hears an announcement. Hey, Mary, highly favored one. This is what's going to happen to you. She says, be it unto me according to your word. And then the miracle begins. The Word, God, and there's something about the Word of God. We know this doesn't change. Though it's just ink on paper, There's something powerful when you mix it with faith and say, I believe that. Is there something that you're believing God for? It's one thing to be in prayer about something and say, well, I'm just praying my little heart out. Wouldn't it be great that you mix it with the Word of God? It's like water and fertilizer. Have you ever planted something with no seed? You add fertilizer and water, will anything grow? That's the Word of God. Be it unto me according to your word. What is that thing that you haven't engaged with God lately? When was the last time you really kind of dug in the Word or even just asked someone? What does God have for me? I just need you to give me a prophecy. Well, how about we just get into the Word? It's written. There's something there for you. Naturally, this Christmas, this young little girl, some say she was as young as 13, 14, said, be it unto me according to your word. And a miracle took place, the word. You have been given something as you believe God for salvation. You mix and receive that by faith, by grace. Whose grace? That's God's part, remember? God's part. Faith does not make God do anything. He's already done this. This is where we entered the covenant. He died, buried, and resurrected. But your faith receives that. It's a proper response for those things that God has done. For all of humanity. For all of humanity. Does that mean everybody's going to get saved? Well, if they don't mix it with faith, they will not. Can you receive more miraculous happenings in your life? If you mix it with faith, why not? Mark 11, 22, Jesus said, and those red letters, have faith in God. For with God, all things are possible. What a beautiful thing and a miracle that this young lady, virgin birth, be it unto me according to your word. So the word is God. God comes to us in his word. This word doesn't change. God comes to you. I'm so glad that you and I get a chance to be around the word. We're just trying to just say, hey, engage God's word. He'll come to you. He looks forward to it. He's so glad that you're here. You know, there's been occasions in the past. God wanted to come and mingle with people. If you are an owner of a business, you can't be everywhere, then you send out what's called field reps, right? You just kind of like get on out there and sell the product. Well, that's what God did to begin with. He sent out the prophets, field reps. And then he said, well, I'm going to wow them with some infomercials. And that's called a miracle. Miracle in the Old Testament, miracle in the New Testament. Wow, maybe God's real. But there's nothing like having the owner show up at your doorstep. Say, hey, I want to represent something to you. And that's the word of God. I like when Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, let me read that to you. Hebrews 1, 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Pretty powerful, verse 1 through 3. So the Word, we say, yeah, that's God. We could actually even just say, too, you get into this Word, this is God, too. His promise to you, his love letters to you. And you mix that with faith, why not? Why would not anyone just fall in love with the Word of God? It's just an amazing book. It is not like the Reader's Digest or the National Geographic or a love novel. It has something powerful about this book. The Word is God. God wants to plant something in you. Let's take a look at number two. How about his activity? Became. Can you see that? Title of the message, Word Became Flesh. And that word suggests that he becomes something that he wasn't before. The Word became flesh. Now, God, Jesus, did not set aside anything of his deity. He just added to his portfolio human flesh. He set aside the priority that he had to just occupy in ways that just are amazing. Set aside that element of his ability to do the miraculous, leaning heavily on the Holy Spirit. But he was every bit God. And he became, took on human flesh. The language of the Greek literally says, as John talks about that in John chapter 1, that the Word was with God, the Word was God, and oh, by the way, in him was life, and in him was the light of men. That's a powerful thing. This Word becoming. So the Word became flesh. We could literally say God showed up in your neighborhood. And if you let him, he'll show up in your life in profound ways. The Word, God became. What a great Christmas story. Let me add a couple of verses as well. It's very helpful because I like how the Scripture defines Scripture. You put it together. Someone once said that in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and in the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You start saying, wow, that's what the prophet meant, that a virgin would give birth, that the Messiah would ride in on a donkey. Oh, that's what that meant. So as we look here, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, great is the mystery of God. God manifested, which means revealed or shown, how that manifested in the flesh, and that's what he became in human flesh. In Galatians 4:4, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. I like Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, being in the form of God, that's Jesus, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, meant he poured himself out or emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That's a miracle. That is so, it's mind-boggling to consider that Jesus, God, would come, a little zygote, a little fetus, and all of a sudden he's just developing into a little child and then develops into a person and then begins his ministry at age 30. What an amazing thing for God to do. So as we take a look here, beautiful thing, God upholds everything. Again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. By the word of his power. And so I just want to encourage you, you consider some things. Has God planted a word for you? Has there been something that you've been considering with regards to a promise for your own life, with regards to what you have for him to accomplish and see? I'm really convinced, as we take a look here, isn't it interesting? The same way Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. You and I, we could consider ourselves having a spiritual womb. What has God spoken to you about? What is it that you're waiting for him to do or accomplish? Wouldn't it be great that you said, you know, the word just kind of resonated with me in the area of my need. Remember when we stood on that promise of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Again, 2,000 years ago, I believe God can supply your needs. Mingle that in a proper response of faith. When did that take place? On Calvary's cross. Be it unto me, O God, according to your word. So I want to water that word, fertilize that word. So important, not only with prayer, but isn't it great to say, God, I'm going to trust you for this. I'm going to trust you for this. What a miracle, God coming in human form in such small little sizes till he was born. It's an amazing thing, and I think God intended for that to just stagger our thoughts. How could that be? I think it's intentional. How about where you're living, what you're facing? There's something just over the top, unobtainable in your own right and ability? How about standing on a seed of God's word? Why not just say, I believe that. I believe God's going to come through. Well, let's take a look at number three, his humanity, his flesh. We have his identity, the word, something he became or became suggesting, came into, and then notice the word flesh. God is a human person, still very much God, still very much a man. But as we consider this, isn't it interesting? The miracle of God just coming into humanity like that. I believe that. That's an amazing miracle that God became human. For the sake of, for what reason? Here we have it, two reasons. Number one, our redemption. Take a look at that, our redemption. We have Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Take a look, it's on the screen there for you as we're about ready to have communion, but it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for who? For everyone. Does that mean everyone's going to be going to heaven? You're saved by that grace of God, but it's got to be mingled with faith. You believe that he tasted death for you personally, I'll tell you, something's going to happen. And that spiritual womb starts to nurture some life that's just amazing. The same way you receive salvation, it's the same way, why not receive all the other miracles that you're waiting for and believing in? Sometimes things may not work quick enough for you or me. That's why Scripture talks so much about being patient. In your patience, possess your soul. Hang in there. For he who promised is faithful, who also will perform it. I love that in Hebrews 10:23. So is there something that you say it's not happening? That faith just went mainline, flatlined. But we take a look here. Jesus made a little lower. He suffered. That was the purpose. Take a look at that element of his birth was really gearing up for his death. And the reason for the manger or that cradle was really going to the cross for you. Second element we want to highlight too, it's interesting, is really our representation. He represented us. He's that one. In Hebrews chapter 4, and I welcome our worship team up, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I like the fact that he can identify with us. He knows what we have experienced. I don't know if you've ever sought counseling from a therapist and they've never experienced anything of heartache. Have you ever experienced that? That you're talking to somebody who has no clue what you're going through. They just have to listen to you. That's tough. That's hard. It might help just to have somebody give a listening ear. But take a look at verse 15. He was in all points tempted as you and me, yet without sin. He knows our weaknesses, which leads us to verse 16. Now you see, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So on this occasion, as we pursue just even communion, take a look. Remember that balance of grace and faith. It's called the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in need of anything? Well, I know we all need God, don't we? He came because he wants to really hang out with you. But not only that, man, he really wants to provide for you. He really wants to sustain you. If there's a need, let him meet it. If you need help, let him meet it. How does that happen, Pastor Paul? Well, that's what we've been addressing. Greatest need we have is salvation. Aren't we glad God came and one little girl said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Has God been speaking something to you? Have you said, "Lord, that's a tough road that you're wanting me to trust you for, but I see it in the word and I'm willing to believe you for it. I'm willing to believe you for it." Because we all have the favor of God. He's no respecter of persons. Scripture is clear about that. Romans says there's no partiality with him. None whatsoever. If he didn't like you, he would have never made you. Since he made you, he's going to take care of everything. But he sure would like to have you participate by saying, "I believe." Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I like the element of communion. It's a great reminder. Why are we so favored? 2,000 years ago, God did it all for us. He did it all for us. It's not like faith is going to rev him up, get him going again, act on our behalf. Nah, he's already done all that. He's not the one that's stuck. Did you hear that? He's not stuck. We might need to say, "Lord, I want to be that man, that woman of faith and to believe. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So those who are helping us serve communion, I invite you to come forward and station yourselves while they come to get themselves ready. If you are here visiting us, we drop the house lights just a little bit so we have that intimate time with Jesus, our Savior. If you've never had communion with us, we welcome you to have communion with us. You who are watching via live stream, hurry up and get something that you can just represent that bread and that juice. Have communion with us. Jesus said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show my death to yourself till I come for you." But let's wait till we've all been served with the communion elements, then we'll come back, we'll have it together. It's like one big happy holiday meal. How's that? Okay? All right. Let's worship the Lord while we serve the elements.
Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No. I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Jesus.
Well, I just want to invite you to go ahead and just put your finger right on that wafer and you'll see it flip right up, separating that from the top of the cup. Let's just add to our faith a little bit before we participate. Zach brought in Malachi 3:10. Love that. Named his son after that passage. That's one committed guy. It's amazing where the Lord talks about his desire for us to trust him. He says, go ahead and prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessings you cannot contain. I'm highlighting that because of the generosity of your Savior. If you can think that he's very generous and could do far more than your imagination can carry your prayer life, that's why we go back to the Word. I love Deuteronomy 28. If you heed my word and obey my commands, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Deuteronomy 28:2-3. It's kind of like you can't outrun the blessings of God. And when I talk blessings, and people say, well, I'm going to give money and God's going to give me money back. Listen, if God only blessed me with money, I would feel ripped off. I want far more than that. Far more than that. And if you hear what I'm saying, you'll understand the generosity of our Redeemer. He who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for each one of you in this room. How much more so will he willingly or freely give you all things? Romans 8. So isn't it fun? I love the Lord. I love talking about him. I want everybody to experience him. Him. We're grateful for facilities. We're excited that we get together. So good for us to have the Word of God on our laps. When we see in James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, no doubting. Isn't that what it says, right? But let's highlight his generosity, who gives liberally. He's not a welcher. If you're believing for something of that seed, we all have that spiritual womb. You plant something of a promise of God in you. And by faith, be patient to wait it out. Don't give up on him who gives liberally to all and without reproach, which means he will never rebuff you. He will never say, I don't like you. You weren't good enough. He never reproaches anybody. That's why I love the Lord. When I introduce somebody to somebody else, I don't want them to become a bad apple. God's good. He will do you good. And that's why as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show his deep, deep commitment to you. And finally, I want to just highlight, while you who are watching, one of those things, beautiful Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Man, Jesus, you have everything of mine, anything of mine. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives us of all our iniquities and heals us of all our diseases. So let's believe that's going to happen right now in this room, this present moment, who forgives us of all our iniquities and heals us of all our diseases. So, Lord, as we just close our eyes right now, we're going to lift our wafer up and say, Lord, bring healing. Anything that's lacking in our lives because of the cross and resurrection, whether that's lacking good health, whether that's lacking healthy relationships or lacking finances or lacking just sustenance that would sustain us, you're the one that says, don't worry about our life, what we'll wear, or what we'll eat. You're the one that said that. So we're not going to worry anymore. because of Jesus. Thank you for healing. And we believe, we respond to those promises in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and snap that wafer. Let's go ahead and participate together. Bible said in Luke, he says, lifted that cup up and he said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. I'm giving my life to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Covenant people, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, just by simply taking communion, it could be that simple. I believe. He shed his blood for my sins. I belong to him. I'm a person of the covenant. I believe his word. So, Father, as we lift this cup up, thank you, Lord, for just washing us clean. And even when things are exposed and you bring something to light of patterns or addictions or elements of bondage, Lord, forgive us. And we're going to believe you're going to set us free from those things. Because our loyalty, our desire is wanting to live for you in victory and real freedom. So, Lord, as we just toast heaven and thank you, we want to thank you, Lord, for a liberty going out in this room. Because of the blood of Jesus, removes our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and enjoy together. Praise God. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song a little bit more with David. Thank you.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Today, what a thrill to be able to experience the beginning of the December month. Hope you'll come again. Let's see what God has for you to not only hear, but let's journey together and see those miracles happen. God does that just naturally. His supernatural ability is so natural to him. But isn't it great that you get a chance to believe for something that I know God wants special for you? He knows what you desire, and it's important to him. Why? Why? Because you're important to him. You believe that? Yeah. That's part of faith. That's part of stepping it up a little bit. Well, let me pray off a blessing. I'm glad that you're here. I do want to highlight, if you are our guest here today, please come again. We welcome you. And if you would do me a favor, in the bulletin is a tear off, get connected. If you would take a little bit of time on your way out and meet Paul Petruna. Paul, we just even welcome you to head on out to get stationed there. It is actually Paul's birthday today, a little bird told me. Yep. Look at that guy. Yep. There it is. That's his victory lap. All right. So go see Paul, and he'll give you a Hope Chapel ceramic mug so you remember us of your favorite beverage. And thank you. We want to be a blessing to you. We're on this journey together. Let me pray you off. Father, thank you. We just want to say happy birthday, Jesus. And Lord, with that, Lord, for those who profess faith in you today through communion, maybe through the word, maybe those who are watching, we say to them as well, happy birthday. Spiritual birth, name written in the book of life. So we want to thank you, Lord, for that. We believe you're moving, Lord, and you're moving in our lives. You're moving in our wonderful city and the surrounding communities. Be glorified and everyone who hears my voice. Lord, let your glory and the great favor be easily detectable this week in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. God's grace to you. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.